Friday, November 23rd, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. If farmers were looking for something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, look no further than the stability that has been seen in farmland values, despite all that has been thrown against the farm economy this year. When it is time to do financial statements again soon, bankers will have no good reason to reduce farmland values on the balance sheet. Federal Reserve Bank surveys of farmland values have run 1% higher to 1% lower. In other words, little changed. Most farmland was not priced in on balance sheets at full market value, so there is some cushion. Yet, farmland is still the primary source of equity for most farm operations. Most farmland is not over-leveraged, as credit caps prevented farmers from buying farmland without equity. The problem is that given red ink from operations, debt accumulation is occurring under higher interest rates. That means that short-term debt is being continually restructured. Many farmers and their bankers thought that this year was going to be the turning point for farm income, and that didn't happen. The surprise to me is the lack of anxiety over farm finances, suggesting they were stronger to begin with than was perceived. Next year, farmers would be thankful if they could make some money. I travel most of two counties from where I live to the office each day, which gives me a pretty good daily windshield tour. While they were talking great crops most everywhere else in the Corn Belt, I was telling subscribers that corn in our region, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, was at best APH and most turned out worse than that, some of it 50 bushel per acre sub-APH or more. My corn yielded at 50 bushel per acre less than the record yield in 2017. My corn was planted 30 days later than in 2017 and endured two monthly deluges, one in May and another in September. That was a new experience as it was the first time for two saturated months during a growing season. We had a flash drought for much of July that showed how shallow-rooted that the corn was, as while the subsoil was full of water, roots could not access it, as wet conditions had prevented deep rooting. There was end loss as well. The harvest is essentially done here, and elevators did not get full, nor did they utilize outside storage. I expect another lower adjustment in the USDA final corn yield. Ironically, the flash drought that hurt the corn in July benefited the soybeans. Also late planted, it gave them a boost and told them to set more pods. They need some degree of stress to yield well, and while plants were short, they were closely potted in soybeans, while not up to the last 2 years' record yields, still did well. The delayed harvest for soybeans is probably enough to cause USDA to have to reduce their soybean yield in the annual report. Chicago corn prices may have been eroding, but improvement in basis levels have soaked all of it up and some more. Harvest is over, and we had a short crop in northern Iowa. However, the local elevator plant tightened their basis to 20 under here. I knew that there was a reason that I built a bin. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. There was only one field with a cover crop in the 40 miles of my trip to work along the highway. It was a poor stand, but provided some cover as it went to soybeans, which gave it more time to develop last spring. I noted a couple of more fields this fall where they are trying cover crops, but winter has come on so quickly there was little fall growth before a killing freeze. The fields with cover crops were barely tinged green. Farm magazines tout how beneficial that cover crops are, but given conditions last spring and again this fall, they've struggled to amount to anything here in northwest Iowa. A little further south, a little further east, they have had more success. Crop insurance is now offering a $5 an acre break on the premium if you can get a cover crop certified. I see nice pictures in magazines showing great looking cover crops, but have yet to see one here that looks like those pictures. There's a major difference of opinion over what will be included in the U.S.-European Union trade talks. The EU Trade Commissioner once again informed U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer that ag would not be included. For a lot of years, longtime subscribers know that I have advocated hitting the EU so hard with trade sanctions that their teeth rattle. Their use of the precautionary principle and non-tariff trade barriers has got to stop. Frankly, China learned how to screw us by watching how the European Union did it with a lot of these trade barriers. Trump had better not blink on this one. Farm groups and commodity organizations need to step up. If ag is not included in the talks with the European Union, then we have nothing to talk about. When Mexico and Canada agreed to the U.S.-Mexican-Canadian agreement, they left the issue of steel aluminum tariffs and corresponding retaliatory tariffs to be dealt with later. My experience is that such things are a mistake. They always say such auxiliary issues will not be a problem, but then they usually are. Mexico says that they will not sign the USMCA unless the tariffs are lifted. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.